Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind.
Sidebar with Cindy
on Kaya FM 95.9.
Good evening and welcome to Sidebar with Cindy. My name is Khumotso Meso. We are together until 8 o'clock. Thank you so much to Ntate John and Lebo Mashilo. Wonderful conversation that they had around Lebo's life. And right now, like I said, when we threw forward with Ntate John Perlman, it has really been one of those emotionally texting week. Whether you were affected or personally affected, somehow the air got too thick for all of us to breathe. So we ask the last question now as we continue to look at this gender-based violence phenomena problem. You know, it's a really phenomenal problem in South Africa. What do you do when you find out that your partner is a sexual predator or is a wife beater or has somehow done this whole thing that we're talking about, gender-based violence? What do you do? What if it's your brother? What if it's your uncle? What if it's your father? A woman comes forward and says, your father has done this to me. Let's talk about it. Give us a call on 086-000-0959. I'm joined by Mentlantla, and Memba Utazwane, their relationship coach and a life teacher. So we will be having that whole conversation with them.
Sidebar with Cindy on the home of the Afropolitan.
So earlier this week, a hashtag was born, Am I Next? That hashtag touched a lot of women in SA, touched a lot of women even in Africa, because I saw a couple of tweets coming from Ghana where people were telling their stories of gender-based violence. And I suppose the big conversation is when revelations start to happen. So women started to tweet to say, this is my offender. He did this to me. He's a priest at church. He is a community leader in our community. And I didn't even know how to say to anyone at 8 years old, this man violated me. My one I went to a club with, and after that I said, no, he beat me up, he raped me, he left me for dead. So there has been all of those that have been happening with this now. And then a Twitter handle was born called Am I Next? And also Age Survivor, where people were then starting to post their stories, some anonymously, some posted with even their handles, to say, this guy did 1, 2, and 3 for me. But where do you even begin? Let's start with you, Emema Gauta. Where do you even begin when you find out that your loved one has done this heinous crime, this cry, this blood, because it almost feels like we are all bleeding as a country, you know? If what do you do when you find out that your husband is a rapist? The only reason he's not in jail is because the person he raped never came forward.
This is such a... Let me start there before I try and answer your question. Most women, myself included, have a story to tell.
Sure.
Because I remember this week I cried, I guess Ariva as well, when I looked at the picture of this young girl who got raped while she was in varsity. It took me back to my own experience of being raped while I was in college by one of the lecturers in the college that I was in. So, and we go through different healing journeys, right? And much as you have healed, for the first time, I asked myself a question. How did I survive? Because he had a gun. Why am I alive? And why
is Unene not?
Why is she not?
Yeah.
Right? But then again, these are questions that we as mere mortals will never have answers to.
Yeah.
And I remember asking a question on my Facebook page to women and saying, I've been raped. Let's see how many people on my timeline, how many women on my timeline would raise their hands.
And to say, I've been through it too.
Yes. And some stories rape is very horrific, but other stories more horrific than yeah, others.
100%.
You know, of people who are saying it happened to me when I was 5, it happened to me when I was 8, it happened to me when I was. And here is the reality of the matter, is that if I were to speak to South Africans, it's all of us are guilty of how things are at the moment. Because all these perpetrators belong to families and all these victims belong to families. But it's almost as if families would rather pick perpetrators.
Over
and
victims.
Yes. Would rather pick, and most women are violated and raped by people that are known.
That they know.
That are known to them, that are known to their loved ones. And then families make a decision on who to believe and who to protect and who not to protect. And therefore, what do I do if it's somebody very close to me that has done it? You know, number one, I would confront them. I would go and ask, this is an accusation that has been leveled against you. Level up with me. What is going on? Because at the end of the day, despite what we forget, is that my loved one who has done this heinous crime has victimized somebody else. And you see, the problem with rape is it takes away a part of you. And for the longest time, you lead a life that has got this kind of emptiness that you don't understand. And it sort of just changes, it almost as if it changes the trajectory of your life. It takes it to certain parts that you just never imagined yourself going into those spaces. But the reality of the matter is we are not bold enough to call a spade when the spade is being picked up by
when we are confronted by that. You know, someone tweeted last week and said, how many times do you justify the scars you have because of who's holding the knife?
Yes. That's the challenge that we are having.
Sure.
Because it's somebody, all of a sudden, because it's my brother, it can't be true. But the very same, here's the challenge, the very same woman who says, because it's my brother, it can't be true, that same woman was raped.
Yes.
So all of a sudden the story just changes color. Hey. All of a sudden the story is no longer as heavy because now the person who is being accused is my brother, is my father, is my dad. They all of a sudden is like, you know, batho ba tso. All of a sudden motho a tlokofala se re mmitsa badimo se a le holy
ya ho feta batho ba ka ofela mo lefatsheng,
and they can do things for us that they couldn't do when they were alive. It's exactly the same challenge that we are currently having. Now that is somebody I love, now that is somebody I revere.
Sure.
This crime, we can do something about it.
Let's talk about it. Let's solve it like Ubuntu. Let families talk about this thing, and you forget that even victimizes that person even further.
Yes.
Because if you acknowledge your part in the crime, I think that is also some healing to the victim. They are not crazy.
Yes.
They're insecure. Yes. You validate
yes.
what their violation to
yes.
say. This thing actually took place because
it happened.
If you looked at the timelines or people that were tweeting, there's a girl who said she tells everybody else about it. But Hanna, Kirkoena, why don't you tell me that, yes, I did this to you and I'm sorry. He says, one thing, it's I've never done that to you. But when he's with his bras, because it's an environment that allows him to show his true colors, then he's there, he's beaming, and he's showing everybody, because sometimes it's also a conquest. Is it like a conquest for guys? Like, what happens? Because I think part of the conversations that we should have when we're trying to address this problem is finding out the mental state of people that do things like this, especially over and over and over again. Because as much as the stats says that a person who's been raped is most likely to be raped again, it is also that a perpetrator that is raped is most likely to rape again.
Yeah.
It's not a once-off thing.
Yeah, no. Hey, let me start here that I'm going to start positive, then I go the other direction. That healing is possible.
Yeah.
I want to start there. That healing is there. Healing is possible. There are people who get out of this healed. But it's an issue of the process. Where does the process start?
Yes.
Because if the process starts wrongly, the healing will take longer, or it might not come at all. But I want to pick up on the words that Osma Khauta has raised, that we are all guilty as a nation. We are all guilty as a country, because what we have done, we have glorified things that are not supposed to be glorified. We have taken sex as a form of an identity, and everybody wants to fit in, even in wrong ways. We have labeled people who are not sexually active as if they are fools.
Yeah.
We have downplayed morality. Anyone who comes and speak from the moral point of view, we see them as judgmental. Mm-hmm. We see them as outdated, traditional. And we have embraced philosophies that don't help us. We are a community or a nation that is in pursuit of a feeling more than what is right. And once you have embraced that kind of a culture, even if now my worldview is my emotions comes first, if somebody who is close to me has committed crime, I will want to save my emotions than do what is right.
Yeah.
So as a community, we need to evaluate the institutions that shape our thinking and question, what is it that you are feeding us? Is it making us good human beings, or is it making us animals, right? We have embraced the culture of individualism, that my truth is my truth, you've got your truth, and we are looking down on traditional systems that kept society. We are looking down, in particular, the Christian values that have built our country. So we are in a mess as a country. And no one wants to come out. We celebrate people who are financially prosperous, but they are morally bankrupt. And we celebrate them. They are our heroes. They are our leaders. And we are sitting here with these results that we have in front of us, and we are crying foul. So I'm saying to the nation, let us all repent. We are all guilty, all of us. We have contributed to the murder of
Uyinene,
all of us as a country, and we have let her down, because the guy who was in pursuit of emotion and wanting to feel good has committed a crime, and it's coming to bite us.
Sure. 086-000-959. What do you do when you find out that your loved one is a perpetrator of gender-based violence? Where do you go? They say in South Africa, you don't ask if you have ever been violated. You ask, how many times have you been violated? Yeah. Anna from Johannesburg, good evening and welcome to Sidebar with Cindy. Hi, Anna. Anna, hello. Okay, we'll get Anna back just now. And I think for us, that is the biggest thing as women. If you now cannot even think of one woman that can say, I am unscathed. You know, some might not have experienced rape, but they came very close, you know. So no one is unscathed. Yet, somehow, all the men are the victims of us, women. When I say us, I'm talking about women now, of us not I don't know, valuing them, because there's always reasons why they are doing it. There's always a reason a man will say, lahlupa, leta, this. You know, there's almost always that thing underlining justification. That's why people say, don't ask her what she was wearing.
Yeah, that's,
her skirt has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
Because if rape was really about what I was wearing, then a 9-month-old baby would never ever be raped.
Can I push the ticket even further? I want to push the ticket to as far as rape has even changed shape. There's a rape that starts in the mind, where you are pushed from the material position to a place where you are in a corner. They use your weakness, your poverty, your status to make you do things
to coerce yourself,
that go against your values, without being physical or using a knife or any other thing.
Yeah.
Why? Because they prey after weak-willed women and take advantage of them.
Mm.
And that's another form of rape, but we won't call it rape because we say, no, it was consensual.
Yeah. Sure. 086-00-00959. What do you do when you find out that your husband, your brother, your uncle, your father has most likely raped? Or there is a clear evidence now, you know, somebody comes with screenshots. I mean, this this time it's even terrible because we are living in a time of technology. So getting evidence that you raped me sometimes is slightly easier, because all I have to do is text you and somebody can say, come back and say, yeah, but you wanted it. And then I screen grab and I'm like, Ninjelil.
Yeah.
You guys thought I was lying, because I think the other problem is the believing factor. If I come out and say that there's one on rapile, will people believe me, or will they want to shield him? And are you shielding a person who is a perpetrator? Because I don't think it takes us anywhere. Because if they themselves cannot repent and heal and see things differently, the chances of them doing it to your daughter now, to your friend now, it's higher, because they all of a sudden become, you know, this thing, invisibility. You steal something, no one patas you, and then you think you can steal again. So once you give him that power to think that, actually, most I can get away with this. It's enjoyable to me. So what if she screams, eh? So what if she screams? She'll say no. By the end of the night, she would have said yes. We start with your calls now, talking about what do you do. And maybe you have been in that situation where it was brought to light that your loved one is guilty of such a crime. And maybe you did take action. Or maybe you were just so mortified, like in that there's one and Makhout have said that you just then, you know, close up, you find a way to not hang your dirty linen in public. The way I hate that thing. Don't hang your dirty linen in public. It drives me insane. Anna, we've got you back now. Welcome to Sidebar with Cindy.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can now.
Okay, what happened to me was, you know, gender-based violence is an umbrella. So with me, it was more emotional, the psychological breakdown, the name-calling, to the point where, you know, your hair falls out, you lose weight, you lose concentration at work. And what I did was I left. My baby was a year and a half at the time. And I left, I seek counseling, and what I do now is I share my story. You know, to younger women. I'm not a qualified counselor. But currently I'm busy with a young girl who finds herself in a similar situation. You know, I'm able to share my story and tell her what I did. At the end of the day, you can't tell them that they must leave or they must stay. Their decision remains there.
Yeah, but Anna, how did the family receive the news? Because, you know, I think the greater conversation is, when you are in that much trouble, did you have a person you could seek refuge to? And what did they say when you tell your mother-in-law, for instance, that your son is abusing me? How was the reception when you spoke about that? Especially because it was not physical, she was not raping you, and some people can just say, ah, Anna, you are overreacting. So he called you a name, come on.
She there was no acceptance of it. It was denial all the way. Unfortunately.
And then the conversations you were having, how old is your child now?
He is 2.
Are you okay? Maybe too young. But what are the conversations that you are looking forward to having with your child? Because, you know, I was talking to a friend earlier and I said, maybe we are a lost cause, you know? Maybe we are the last bit of the people that are horrible and we will die out and hopefully this dies with us. But it cannot die with us if we are not having the right conversations with our children. So if you are not teaching your boy child to act a certain way, you're not teaching your girl child to act a certain way, and you are imparting the same terrible standards of living that we have now. Like if a person says no, throw your toys out of the cot, kill them, do what you gotta for you to get a yes, because that's how we live now. What conversations would you say are very important and vital in shifting the paradigm?
I would say, you know, I'm going to teach him how to be a gentleman. Unfortunately, I have to do it by myself. But I would like to teach him how to be a gentleman, because I believe that I'm not raising him for myself. One day he's going to be somebody's father, somebody's husband. And instilling those principles are very important. He's lucky to have father figures that will assist me.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's important principles that I would like to instill in him with regard to how to treat a woman, how to respect a woman, what the value of a woman is, not only what his value as a man will be, but what the value of a woman is, and to appreciate it. You know, women are not the weaker gender, you know.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I can instill as much as I want. It's what he's going to do with that advice.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Anna. Continue to be brave. And thank you for walking away. I think we sometimes don't give credit. I don't think it's not easy walking away from a relationship that's failing. And it's not even abusive, you know. You see what you have invested and you're like, yo, walking away doesn't make sense anymore. Oh my goodness, I must get used to somebody else's moods and whatever. I can't imagine how even more difficult it would be when somebody has told you that I'm your anchor, I'm your everything. If you walk away from me, you're going to crumble. Because that's what abusers tend to do. They tell you that there's no life without them. There's definitely no life without them. So, carrying on with the conversation, what do we do going forward? What are the conversations we should be having? What are the actions we should be taking?
Can I just say this? The challenge is that we are a bunch of hypocrites, all of us. We live in double standards. Like I said earlier, if it's done by somebody I love, it can be true. If it's done to me, it has to be true.
Shucks.
So we need a savior. Jay,
we need. Oh, but the savior is us, isn't it?
No, you can't save yourself. But
let me just give you this analogy. If you are saying you can save yourself, imagine a ship in an ocean with an anchor inside of it. That's where we are at.
Yeah. Go and remember what it means to be human. I believe we have forgotten that. I believe we don't know what it means to be human anymore.
We are trying to define ourselves.
Even if I can ask a question, what it means to be human now, the callers, you'll be so shocked of kind of, they'll mention all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Right? And all these things, they lead us to where we are today, right? Because when we received our freedom or democracy, we pursued emotions and economic well-being more than we pursue who we are as human beings. I believe we needed to start there. I'll use an analogy that I saw in the Bible, that in the book of Haggai, the children of Israel, they were from oppression. When they got in their freedom, they start building businesses, they go after money and wealth and everything. And God comes to them and say, what are you doing? You are putting money in holes, in pockets that have holes in them.
Yeah.
I will tell you what is your problem. The problem is that you have forgotten my house. What is my house? It's God's body. Our bodies are the temple of the Lord. We have forgotten that we are from oppression, that he was saying to us, we are nobodies, we are nothing. Now we want anything to feel good and feel like somebody's. And we get it anywhere. Anyone who presents something that will make us feel good, we want to take. And we need to say, hold on. Do we have to go for an emotion, or should we find ourselves as a people and remember what it means to be a human being? We need to go back there. If I were to be the president of this country, that's exactly where I'm going to start. I'm not going to put $1 trillion for infrastructure development. I'll put $1 trillion to human development, education, spirituality, and get rid of all the wrong pastors and bring the right pastors and let us find ourselves as human beings. That's where we need to start.
But isn't it in our nature, we are fickle. Human are full of error.
Yes. Yeah.
That's so, the one thing that makes us human.
Exactly.
We are full of error, and we are self-serving.
Yeah.
Humans are self-serving. If the reason you jump out of the fire is not because somebody else is burning, it's because you are burning.
Yeah.
That's the only reason you're jumping out.
Yeah.
It's not because you're trying to save the world.
Yeah.
So because we are self-serving, trying to say to people, change for the better of the world, becomes a hard sell.
Yeah.
Because it does not necessarily serve me.
Yeah.
That is why, Kiri, the conversations that we are having at home, if daddy right now is accused of rape, your child is old enough to see Twitter or Facebook or however, maybe the woman knocked at the door, Ari, yo guys, this week has been so tough and I wanted to say, Batung, Bahazwani, I was did wrong by
your father.
Or your father.
Yeah.
And I want it out there because I'm trying to find my healing. I thought I had healed, but when this came out, I realized how much I have not healed.
Yeah.
And I want him to acknowledge his mistakes, and I want us to move forward from there.
Yes.
What, when that woman leaves the house, because Twitter is like that.
Yeah.
Twitter is an announcement at your house.
Of course.
So when that woman now leaves the house, what is the conversation?
Okay, I think for me, if that were to happen in my family, the first thing would say would be, guys, we've been a fraud all this time and we've been found out.
Mm.
And the next best thing is to deal with it head on. And this is how you deal with things head on. It has to be a confrontation. I remember when I did my own confrontation, I had to go look for this guy. Found him, and I said to him, Shebamu, sekele mkholo, I'm no longer... That was the conversation. And piga futhi, because you did it once. Piga hape ko shebile gore you didn't do it. And he couldn't. Because sometimes that's what justice is for other women that have been raped, because the biggest thing is somebody would be denying it as if when you are crazy.
You need validation,
exactly. So I think then at that point, everybody else in the family would have to say their piece as to how they have been affected by that.
Yeah.
And we must walk the forgiveness journey, because we too have been violated by our own loved one who have gone out to violate other people. Now we are in this whole
Now mess. It's all our shame.
It's all our shame. So we must deal with it. And the only way to deal with shame is confronting it and realizing that it does not define you. It doesn't matter how big a thing, how big a crime you have created. The only challenge is, are you truly repentant? Or you are saying, I'm sorry because you've been caught.
Oh, my goodness.
And confrontations are not easy. That is why we have to rally around you to confront. Now,
intervention.
Confrontations are not easy. And that truth will heal us more than anything.
Sure. 086-000-959. Tepo is also calling us from Joburg. What is your story, Tepo? Were you accused or was your father accused and you had to deal with it?
Hi everyone, how are you?
Good, thanks, and how are you?
Yeah, I'm okay, thanks. Okay, you know, the first thing that I would like to say is that can we also pay attention to how we raise our boys? Because of, you see, the thing is this, man, like when we come to the issue of raising children, we put so much emphasis on teaching the girl child and protecting the girl child, you understand? But we leave the boy child just to be by themselves. Like I'll give you an example, like a 9-year-old boy, you know, would play in the streets even up to 10 o'clock at night during the week. And when he comes home, no one will question him. You understand?
Yeah.
But when a 16-year-old girl comes home 5 minutes after 6 o'clock, then everyone, or even as a matter of fact, if 6 o'clock, you know, they say that 16-year-old girl, like, is not home, everyone gets worried.
Yeah.
You understand? So the boy child will grow up thinking that I can do whatever I want to do. No one's going to question my
rules are for girls.
So by the time that boy grows up and then he does whatever, he's used to the fact that whatever I do, no one is going to question me. So why everything now has to change now when I'm growing up? You understand? So I think that everything starts with the foundation. So we as a society, we always react to, you know, the fruits of what people do, but we don't check the root cause of where is this thing starting from. You understand? Because if we always keep on talking about, you know, what men are doing, but do we really check how we, why we are raising this type of men?
You
see, on my side, I was never accused of anything, and also I do know people who did nasty things, but what I can say is that you cannot change a person. You can only just lead by example and show people that, you know what, this is the way. But then, like the Bible said, you know, that, you know, people choose the path that they want to follow. So I just want to say that on my side, I'm also a victim of, like, several abuses. I went through the boy, and that on its own, you know, like, it crushed me growing up, of course, but then it taught me the importance of, you know, be careful of how you raise your children. So I've raised my nephew, and he's very comfortable with me. He's a virgin, and he's very proud. And, you know, sometimes he'll come to me and say, hey, you know, the boys at school, they laugh at me. I said, you know what, boy, purity is not something that belongs to a girl child. It's something that belongs to all of us.
And
they laugh at you because of you are speaking a different language to the language that they've already been exposed to, you understand? So this thing of, you know, telling the girl child that, no, keep yourself a virgin, you know, all these things, but you're teaching the boy child that they must condomize. That boy is going to grow up and, you know what, he's going to get married to a virgin, and that girl, that woman rather, is going to suffer because of now the competition is so tight. Because of now the boy is way too experienced. But if we teach, if we balance our teaching between girls and boys and we protect them equally, I don't think we'll still be having this conversation 10 years or 20 years,
from now. I suppose that is the big thing. Let children be children.
Yeah.
You know, if we could live in a genderless society, I think we would be so much better. And how you're genderless, I'm talking about certain things, from how we do chores, from responsibilities you give one another at home. If there are restaurants now that don't have gender-based toilets. So a toilet is a toilet. And it looks taboo when you are out in public, right? But when you are home, we all use the same bathroom. And there are both boys and girls at home, you know. And yes, we can say we don't know what creeps are there out there and for us to share a bathroom and whatever, but we have to get to some normal where coexisting is not so hard. It can be this hard to coexist. Let's take Masego before I take more comments from our guests. Masego, welcome to Sidebar with Cindy.
Hi, team. How are you?
All right, and you?
I'm actually calling with a lot of shame because I have been a witness of an abuser and things getting swept under the carpet by families in particular. You know, I have a brother who actually raped someone. And instead of the issue being, you know, tackled with the law, a family meeting was called, you know, as is known in our families. And, you know, when someone, like you say, apologizes because they were caught, not because they actually are remorseful or they actually understand what they have done. And, you know, after all of that, nothing ever happened from it. You know, you just had to apologize. And life moved on.
But was your biggest conflict when Amasego? What was your biggest conflict when this situation was brought to light and it was like, oh my goodness, someone has just accused my brother of raping them? What was your biggest conflict?
The conflict is twofold. On the one side, I've got this person whom I see as my brother, whom I love, whom I only know good about, and who, you know, we're told and taught to, you know, family comes first and you protect family. But then on the other hand, you're told by the same parents, oh no, this is wrong. Or to how I take her, like, oh, assault her like this, it's wrong. And these are the steps you must take. So then when they do the opposite, when it's in-house, you start to question, you know, what is actually the right thing to do. And it haunts me. It haunts me. You know, it's a big cross to carry. I was young at the time, but I remember I was sitting in that meeting, and I still remember it. And I think about that girl. I think about her and what she's going through and what she went through.
And can you imagine what this week has been? I mean, you know, this week has been taxing, even for people who have never experienced rape.
Yeah, of course.
It has been taxing to the boys. It has been taxing to the men. It has been taxing to the girls and the women. It has just been a very stressful week, because when you look at it, we can call them monsters, but they are my brother. They are your brother. They are your uncle. They are your father. They are the priest. They are the leader,
but we breed them,
and we just live amongst them. And maybe, like you say,
we breed them.
When the hypocrisy kicks in, you will you choose.
Yeah.
I'm still going to choose to see my brother as my brother, not as the person who violated another human being.
Until it happens to you,
Until
it happens to you, and that's the saddest. I think that's one of the saddest conversations that we can ever make. And I feel like there must be a bigger person in this whole thing. Somebody must be willing to start.
To put their neck out.
Somebody must be willing to put their neck out. And one of the biggest challenges that we have in society, and it goes back to the issue of hypocrisy, is how much sex sells.
Sure.
And we are thinking, here's the thing, we are suffering the consequences of a culture that we started a while back. Now we are eating the fruit of it, and we are wanting to cry foul, right? Sex and violence is all we see. I mean, even today in Zanzi, all the script piece, writers,
there's violence, there's sex.
I hardly ever watch TV. My TV in my house is almost always
don't watch TV.
off. Right. And simply because every time it's almost as if those are the only shows that get commissioned. And you see, the human mind is a very interesting thing. Everything that you get exposed to long enough, you become it. Whether you have agreed, we are all influenced. We are just choosing which influencer we want, right? And when this thing is now ripe and is here for us to eat, we don't want this meal anymore, especially if we are on the wrong side of the table of this meal. So we have to get to a place where we really choose, because at the end of the day, it's our brothers and sisters who are acting in these movies. Ne?
And they look like you and me. It looks like reality.
It looks like reality. But truth be told, we are funding the pain that we are in as South Africans. And for as long as we are funding it, it will keep coming and keep coming, and we will never have the right kind of conversations. Because when we are supposed to have moral stories played, so that at least in 25 years time, in 30 years time, we've got a better moral generation.
Because you know, when we do this, we play all these things on TV, we are now, we have people who are no longer shameful.
Yeah.
We have taken shame.
Because you validated them now.
Yes, it's no longer shameful. Now it's something they're looking forward to.
They can take the clip and go learn how to even do it.
Yeah.
And perfect.
YouTube it.
Yes, they it can be YouTubed, and then they perfect the evil.
I have a quiet dream. This dream is to make purity, the previous caller talked about it, make purity fashionable.
Yeah.
So that when you are impure, when you are impure and you feel guilty, you feel, now, when you are pure and you are not a virgin, you feel guilty, you have to go and tell your uncle, they are laughing at me. And let's reverse it. Let's make, you know, Mahota said something a while ago. We are seeing now men who are now participating in their children, right? If you go around, you see men with their sons babies and
okay. Strollers.
Do you know when it started? Years back, we started talking about it. We started making it fashionable. And we talked about it.
So now we're reaping the rewards.
Now the rewards are here. We're seeing men doing it. It is possible. We can. We can re-engineer ourselves, right? But now when people will say, so umfundisi manje, so it means so lada necheri wani. You know, now they're trying to make me feel guilty. Now we have to reverse that.
Sure. I suppose when we come back, I want to delve more about purity, because for me, purity almost goes with choice. Anything is pure. Okay, maybe not anything. Things that are pure are decisions that you can take even when you are asleep. So if you take a decision that this is something that I will do and it's something I can be proud of, for me, it is your truth and it maybe is some level of your purity. I am not maybe a firm believer of pure being total innocence or whatever the form is. You know, I feel like if I, Khomotso, can stand up and say, yes, I raped it, I'm proud of it. Maybe I'm just evil. Maybe that's my level of purity. But if somebody says, Khomotso raped, and I want to hide underneath the table, then it's a problem for me. Mm-hmm. So even when you start indulging in sex, if it shames you, then you were never ready for sex. What do you do when the harsh reality of a person that you love and somebody comes through and says, Ish, your father raped me, molested me, hit me when we were young, you know, committed a gender-based violent act towards me, and I'm trying to find healing. And in finding healing, I'm ousting your father, I'm ousting your brother, I'm ousting your husband. What do you do? What is the conversation? What is the action after you are confronted with, I really believe, would be crippling news? If that thing were to happen in any household, I really do believe that it would be crippling. Magdalene, welcome to Sidebar with Cindy. Hi, Magdalene.
Good, thanks. You know what? You're actually touching on something that happened in my family some years ago, where a brother of mine was actually molesting the child, even though he didn't get to penetration, but he was grooming this child. Mm-hmm. And this child was a family member as well. And when the matter was reported, he ran away. But what concerns me about the whole situation is how black people will then deal with such matters. Whereby the family, both families will come together and talk about it. Then there will be a fine to be paid and all that. But the scar on this little girl, as I know, it will remain forever.
So
that for me, something that all the time when it comes to my mind, it still bothers me. Even though I really fought for the little girl and everyone in the family. Because, you know, when we bet, people will even go to extent of, no, he's married, he has kids, he can't just do this.
Don't destroy his life.
He did not destroy his own life in the beginning.
Yes, and people went to consult and all that, and I said, but I hear he still needs to go to jail. He needs to be rehabilitated. He needs to understand the extent of this. He did stay, I think, for about a month, and then, you know what, we'll do, families will come together, and then they are told locates, things like that.
Sure.
And that is the practice in our villages. These are the practice in the townships whereby you can buy that.
Yeah.
I mean, in my profession, I work with people daily who are violated. And I know that this girl at the age of 35, at the age of 50, will still be having this thing haunting
them. Yeah.
Sure.
And then we just pay the 10 grand or whatever money is necessary. So something that we need to change as black people, that when a person did this, it doesn't matter how related you are with this person. Actually, we do them a favor if they go and get rehabilitated, and so that they can actually develop insight into what they did, you know, and come back a better person. They will come back. Then they will be a better person.
Thank you so much, Magdalene. Let's take Tato. And I suppose the big thing there from Magdalene is accountability. How accountable are we even to the perpetrators? There has to be a line you draw in the sand as a family. Khomotso, if you cross this line,
you stop being one of us.
Exactly. We don't have that.
We don't draw the lines in the sand. Tato, welcome to Sidebar.
Hi, Khomotso. How are you?
Shopping you.
I'm good, thanks. So, firstly, I have two comments, right? But the first comment is that in my family, right, I must have been about 9 or 10, and I discovered that there's a huge family secret where one of my cousins was raping his sister on a continuous basis. And it went on for years, and nobody was speaking about it, and she got to a point where she actually went to the police station and got him arrested.
Good.
And when they went to court, the most heartbreaking thing was that her mother turned against her and said, you are sending my son to prison.
Yeah.
Wow.
the chief negotiators in these things are always women.
So he raped her for almost 7 years continuously, and they get to court and the mother says, no, you are sending my son to jail. And they literally outcasted her, and he spent about 9 years in prison. And now I have a daughter, and I am always worried about because he's now out. So I'm always worried about him. I mean, there was a day when I was at home and I had just taken a bath, and I'm just one person who would say when I'm at home, I don't mind walking around naked. And I walked out of the bathroom and I'm going to my room, and he was sitting in the lounge, and my heart actually stopped.
I can imagine.
Because he was there.
So
do you have conversations, Leena Thato? You know, because he went through the system and they hopefully was some rehabilitation. Do you have conversations with him so that he also knows the ramification of his actions, even within the family, to say that you are now this guy that we still love, but we are so scared of?
To be quite honest, I personally choose to not have a conversation with him because I'm terrified of him. I shake when I see him. I mean, if he comes home and I'm there and I'm alone, I'm terrified.
Well,
I can't have a conversation with him.
I think the conversation will heal you, actually.
Yeah,
don't do it alone. Find probably the members of the family, because as a family, you need to heal. And that conversation is to say, okay, you've spent 9 years, this is what, let's confront this. How far have you healed so that we can get the restoration? It's
100%.
It's critical that
she needs to be comfortable to have that conversation. So, Luena, I think it's a timing thing. Make sure that, because sometimes you have a conversation that you're not ready to have and it bears no fruits.
Yeah.
So if you are open to the conversation and you are willing to hear him and he's willing to hear you, you find that conversation actually does bring about healing. Zuki, welcome.
Good evening to the panel and to Homotso. I just want to comment as well, just backing up the brother who called earlier on about the boy child. We cannot raise our children in isolation, where the boys are given certain privileges and the girls are said, you know, like he said, that you need to behave and all of that because you're going to get married one day and all of that. I think that is a comment that is so, so very true, because it deals with the core of the problem, because the problem here that we are facing is the foundation. What is the foundation that we are giving to our children for tomorrow?
Yeah.
And I think as well, biblical principles are still valid even to this day, because we cannot take biblical values out of schools. We cannot take biblical principles out of the family situation, because that is where all this evil has come out and culminated from, because we have shunned what is right and made it wrong, and accepted what is wrong and made it right.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Zuki, for that call. Katleho, you are our last caller for today. Tell us your story. Hi, Katleho. Katleho? Okay, we seem not to have Katleho. But let's round it up. If we were living in a perfect world and we had all the answers, what would they be? Way too from here. We've had a week long of suffering.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of the conversations have not been about healing. It has been outrage.
Yeah.
You know, I rightfully so. There's been a lot of outrage this week. Yeah. So we now will get into the next phase of where we need to be if we are truly and honestly going to address gender-based violence.
Yeah.
So what is that next step?
Yeah. Can I start here just for a minute? I want to speak to you men who are listening. I know there's someone there who has raped or who's thinking of doing it right now. If you have done it, your healing, I know after it probably you don't feel good about it. Tell a brother and hand yourself in, or go to that family and confront so that you will get your own healing, so that you will stop being a rapist. Because if you don't do that step of confronting yourself and expose, because the danger of sin is in its secrecy.
Mamzori?
I think those that are not willing to go out and say, I've done it, they must be exposed. Yeah, I think they really need to be exposed. If they are not willing to come out and say, I've done this and I am sorry about it, expose them. Let's call them out.
Yeah.
Let this whole thing be out there, because we've got makeup on.
Yeah.
And we look like we do not have scars.
Yeah.
And the reality of the matter is, it's about time that we wash off this makeup and say, the reality of the matter is, that man has done it, that man has done it, that man has done it, and that one and that one.
Fantastic. And I think my last appeal is, family, these people are not strangers. These people are not aliens. It's people that lives among us. It's people that are our brothers and sisters. Let's stop acting like monsters are some from an E.T. movie. It's not. If it is your brother, your father, your uncle, speak out, because you don't want to find yourself hating him in 10 years to come, because now you have, like you say, we're breeding these people, and they are now even at a level that we can't even fathom. They are now serial rapists.
Sidebar with Cindy.
Every Monday to Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. Visit kayafm.co.za for more.